why we administer the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And as we notice here first, notice first of all the place of the supper. As you see there, if you back up even in verse number 20, you'll see it says, when you come together, therefore in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, what everyone taketh before other in his own supper, and one is hungry, another is drunken. Now, what it's simply talking about there, this isn't intended to be a meal for filling purposes, right? So we often have a fellowship meal, and we encourage you to participate, to have food, and we enjoy that. That's not what this kind of supper is. This is not intended to be a filling. This is not intended to be necessarily, oh, that was just such great elements tonight. It tasted so good. That's not even the purpose behind this. But what I did want to emphasize, if you notice that it said there, come together, therefore in one place. We have come together tonight as a church to commemorate and to observe the Lord's Supper. And so we have come here together. This is the one place. I do believe that this ordinance should be administered through the local church. Amen. And so that's what we're here tonight to observe, is through the local church. We are united together as a church to observe this. So first of all, we notice the place of the supper at the church. The second thing, or amongst believers, the second thing is notice the manner of the supper. Again, it's not for a flesh and meal. It's not intended for a personal or physical enjoyment, but it's a sacred significance, right? And of course, we had mentioned before as we taught, we're not necessarily looking or interested. This is not a sacrament. This has nothing to do with your salvation. This does not save a person. In fact, you should only participate if you've been saved. Amen. So this is not salvation. This is an ordinance of the church. And so when you look at the manner there, I believe that this was a special kind of supper that the Lord instituted. I think it was a sacred supper. I mean, of course, many of you have seen art and history to this, basically this exact place and time that it was talking about here in the Scripture. So we see the place of the supper at the church amongst believers, and second of all, the manner of the supper. Now thirdly, we'll spend most of our time on this. Notice the order and the meaning of the supper. If we get down to verse 23, as we read, it said, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now, I always found that interesting, church, in that when it says the same night he was betrayed, I believe there was a lot of turmoil going on amongst the believers in that time, in that day. Can you imagine what was about to happen even to Christ? He was about to be betrayed, was he not? And even still yet, he took that time to gather amongst the believers and to institute here as we still commemorate today the Lord's Supper. Friend, there's a lot of turmoil in the world today. And there's no specific scriptural requirement that speaks to the frequency on how often we should observe. But what we do know is that even in turmoil, even in times of hardship, we still practice and administer. In other words, that's a reminder to us and a picture to us as the church that we still move forward despite what's going on in the world today, right? The Bible does teach us that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That means dangerous or hazardous. And church, I do believe we're living in those days. We are living in dangerous times. We are living in hazardous times. And certainly even this night was a dangerous night for even the Lord Jesus Christ. But it emphasizes there, it's there in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Can you imagine going into this kind of meeting amongst believers knowing this would be your last supper? Yeah? Isn't that something to think about? And you know, there's a lot of things that probably could have been done, but he chose to do that amongst the believers. It's a great reminder to us as well, in addition, that even in the turmoil, but also, friend, the fellowship that we have amongst believers. I can't think of a better place or time to be in the house of God than despite even what's going on in our culture and our world today. In fact, the Bible even says so much more as you see the day approaching. You know what that tells us, church, is that we should gather more frequently, not more or less. So as we notice there, then also notice as we read on there, the manner that was done, it says when he had given thanks. You know, the first thing that he did was give thanks, right? We talked about that some this morning, about thoughts for thanksgiving, the attitude of gratitude this morning in the service. And the very first thing that I appreciate in the example that the Lord Jesus Christ laid out to us is to give thanks. Before we administer and distribute or participate and take in the elements, we're going to ask each one of the men to give thanks and ask for a special blessing on each one in particular. That is instituted by the example there by the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave thanks. He gave thanks. And so again, church, despite what's going on, despite what's happening, despite what's going on, we should always give thanks. He gave thanks for what was about to be done there. So there was the thanksgiving. And then, of course, we see there that as the same verse number 24, giving thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So as we distribute, we'll distribute the elements of the bread first. We'll serve that first. We'll ask for the blessing on that first, just like the Lord Jesus Christ did, before we go any further in that. Now, if you notice there, there's something else that I want to mention there. "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." Which was broken for you. I'd like you to look with me in Isaiah chapter 53 for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 53. This is a reminder of what we're talking about, or reference here also as well, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Broken for you." Let us read a few verses here in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1, starting in verse 1. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Verse number 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Now watch verse number 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Did you notice what the scripture says there, friend? We hear, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." His body was literally broken before our sin. For you and I, friend, that's why his body was broken. And so as we commemorate and we celebrate and we observe the Lord's Supper, friend, understand that the biggest purpose is to remember what it is the Lord's done for us. That is the first thing. And then, of course, as it says, we do show the Lord's death till he comes. We'll get to that in a moment. But we are remembering, literally taking time to remember what Christ did for us. Now, friend, when was the last time that we truly took time to remember, to thank God for breaking his body, for wounding himself, for breaking himself for you and I? Friend, he didn't deserve one bit of it. He was the only man to walk this earth as a sinless man in the flesh. He walked here and there was no sin found in him. Friend, but he did this for you and I. So when we see that there, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you," and then we look at one particular passage, it helps us to understand why he did this. "He was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." So we see there about the bread, and then in verse 25, "After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Now I want you to go with me for a second to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. I just want to share one scripture there with you, Hebrews chapter 9. And we'll look there. In verse 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission." There is no remission. Talking about what? The remission of our sins. So you understand, friend, he says here, "The New Testament blood, this student rests with me." The other purpose here, the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. His blood was shed for you and I. His blood was spilled for you and I. And this is something else that it's important to remember, that why he broke his body, why he shed his blood, was simply for you and I. And without the shedding of blood, friend, you and I couldn't be saved. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So it's important for us to remember that the other picture, the other symbol of what the bread and what the juice, what the elements remind us of. And then, of course, he says in verse number 26, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he comes." So the first thing that we've noticed is the memorial or the remembrance of what Christ did for you and I. And then the second thing that we notice is showing the Lord's death till he come. So the first part, really, when we think about it, if we were to sum it up, is the part is to commemorate or to remember. The second part is to anticipate, right? Thank God he's coming back. Amen. Hey, listen, we as a church stand for the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Amen. Jesus is that blessed hope. The Bible teaches us that we're not as others which have no hope. We have hope. That's the one thing that sets us as Christians apart from anybody else in the world. Friends, we have hope of the return of Christ. We talked some this morning in our Sunday school class that one of the greatest evidences of Scripture is the prophecy that we have seen. 700 years in the book of Hosea, we see that Christ's birth was prophesied in Bethlehem, and it was around 700 B.C. So we see that. We also know another prophecy that the Lord's coming back for us. So the other part of this, as the Bible literally says there, we should the Lord's death till he come. He's coming back, friend. Amen. He's coming back. I believe he's coming back sooner rather than later. Amen. Now, what are we to do until then, friend? We're just to keep on serving. We're just to keep on sharing the gospel. We're to keep on preaching the word. We're to keep on teaching. We're to keep on doing what we are doing. Just as we illustrated, I believe it was last week in one of the services, hey, the race isn't done until we cross that finish line. Until the Lord either takes us by the grave or by the rapture, listen, the race is not done yet. We are to keep on pressing forward for the cause of Christ. So there's the other reason is the commemorance or the remembrance, but also to anticipate. And then, of course, as we read on there, there's something very important that we need to look at. We've looked so far the place of the supper, the manner of the supper, the order and meaning of the supper. But then also there are some qualifications. Notice the qualifications. Now, it says there in verse 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." So the two things that's important to know is that it's talking, first of all, he was amongst believers, okay? He was amongst Christians. He was amongst the followers of Christ, which we know as being Christians today. So the first thing that's important for you and I to know is that you are a saved child of God. If you don't know tonight that you've been saved by the grace of God, you should not participate. Listen, I'm not going to be angry at somebody for not participating. I would rather you not participate than to be guilty of exactly what the Bible says. So if you've not been saved, now, if you have not been saved and want to be saved, we surely want you to be saved tonight. Amen. Amen. Right. I can't think of a better time. So if you need to be saved tonight, don't let that be, well, I'm not saved. So how about you just go ahead and obey the Lord? How about you just go ahead and get saved, and then you can participate? Amen. So I'm just telling you, I don't want you to put yourself in a position, as the Bible says, but if you're here not saved, friend, I can't think of a better time. And what a wonderful time to say, you know what, God spoke to my heart on the night we had communion at church. I realized that I wasn't saved. I realized that I needed Jesus as my personal Savior. I realized that I needed forgiveness of my sin. And so I went on and asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. Amen. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Give us another reason to be excited about what God's doing. So that's number one, is to we need to ensure that you're a believer, that you're a Christian, that you've been saved. And then something else too, notice in verse 28, this is important, "But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink that cup." Friend, this isn't a time to say, well, I don't think so-and-so ought to participate because of this in their life. That is not what the Scripture is telling us here, friend. This is a time to examine who? Ourselves. It says, let a man examine himself. This isn't a time where you ought to bump your spouse on the elbow or say, hey, listen, honey, you've not been right with the Lord. You should not participate. This isn't a time to look across our neighbor and say they should not participate, right? This is a time to, why don't you just be concerned about, as the Bible says, about yourself, and let them be concerned about themselves and their standing and their relationship with the Lord. So here in just a few moments, we're going to have a time of invitation. And again, when I say extended, I want to give you plenty of time to get on your knees. If you've got some things that you need to make right with God, then you better go ahead and get it done. Amen. If there's some things that you know you've been holding back, if there's some hidden sin in your life, you know, the Bible says he that I'm paraphrasing, but it's teaching us that when we hide sin, you shall not prosper. God's not going to bless when you hide sin in your life. Confess it and make it right with God, friend. And there might be a second part. You might need to go to someone and make things right. Amen. I don't know. Nobody's told me anything about you. You know, sometimes people say, they're going out the door and say, you know, Pastor, you're speaking right to me. Listen, friend, I don't know. We just take the word of God and give you what thus saith the Lord and let you take it between you and God. Amen. So, but maybe tonight, friend, listen, don't let that be a reason. Say, well, I know my heart's not right and this is not right. Friend, you can also use that as an excuse to not be obedient to the Lord. You could just, again, go ahead and do what God wants you to do. And as it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 19, if we confess our sins, excuse me, 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you can go ahead and make it right tonight, friend. So it says, let a man examine himself. In verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, you hate to speak about things like this, but if you're going to remain hard-hearted, if you're not going to make things right with the Lord, and you know that something's not right, then you're better off not to participate. Nobody's going to be offended. None of the men that's coming by to serve the elements is going to press to you to participate. In fact, while we're on that subject, parents, help watch your kids. Listen, you're their parent. You should probably help them understand whether they should participate or not. Same qualifications go for them. So parents, if you've got small children, help look out for them. But what I'm saying is that, friend, I hope that's not the case. What you should do is go ahead and make things right with God. But if you're not going to do it, then you're better off not to participate. Because why? Well, the Bible simply says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. That's literally talking about death. So, do we not see that this is a serious matter to the Lord? If we take this lightly, if we don't take this seriously, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So obviously this would not be proclaimed in the Word of God if it was not such a serious matter that we should really address on a personal level. So those are the qualifications of the Lord's Supper, and then we just spoke about the dangers of it. It's not to be taken lightly. And then, of course, as we read on even there, for this in verse number 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So obviously there is a danger for not participating scripturally. So as we continue on here, we're getting ready to have a time of invitation. In fact, I'm going to ask my wife if she'll go ahead and come. And as we have this time of invitation, friend, again, let's not have talking. Let's not have unnecessarily walking around. I do want to invite you to come to the altar and come and do business with the Lord. In fact, I'm going to take some time myself to pray. I'm not going to speak during this time. I'm going to encourage you to examine yourself, and if there's something not right, you need to make it right now. So let's go ahead and have that time. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer. Come down to the altar. I'm going to come down to the altar and pray myself. You do business with God.